This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Tasha Fusil. Positive psychology, according to the Positive Psychology Center, is a scientific study of the strengths that enable individuals and communities to thrive. The field is founded on the belief that people want to lead meaningful and fulfilling lives, to cultivate what is best within themselves, and to enhance their experiences of love, work, and play. So how does this apply to Malaysian organizations, and what if this were applied in our communication efforts? Here to tell us more are Andy C, the Managing Director at Perspective Strategies, and Su Lin Chung, the Chief Engagement Officer over at Asian Center for Applied Positive Psychology. So Su Lin, perhaps you could start off by giving us an introduction to what positive psychology is.
Tasha, you have actually described it quite well just now. So positive psychology is the science of human well-being and flourishing. And what it means is it is a study. A study into what goes well in the world. Rather than, you know, fixing problems and stuff, it's about how people thrive, where others flounder. So we want to know how some guys just get it all and some people don't. Because it feels kind of unfair, right? So evidence-based research on human strengths and virtues, hope, optimism, resilience, mindfulness, and all the stuff that promotes well-being and makes life worth living goes into informing, guiding, and in many ways enabling many people, other people, to get more out of life. So that's the intention. We want to know what works, what is great, what makes the good life. Can everyone have a share of it rather than just some?
Well, how does it differ then from the study of traditional psychology? And if there is positive psychology, is there an inverse where there is negative psychology?
No, no. There is no negative psychology.
That's probably a good thing.
Not at all. Yeah. Positive psychology is actually a branch of psychology that uses scientific understanding through research and then effective interventions that go into aiding the achievement of a satisfactory or good life for people generally, rather than treating people as having mental illness, which is the focus of traditional psychology. So positive psychology is, if you look at it, it's more about personal growth. It's a more strength-based model as compared to traditional psychology, which focuses on pathology and what we call a disease model. So what is wrong with this person? Let's fix it. That's traditional psychology and most of what we know is psychology. Positive psychology actually goes into, hey, what's working right? What's he doing well? You know, what's good with that organization? Let's go copy it. You know, can we clone it? Can we teach it to other people? So that's the difference. Yeah. And positive psychology is not really new. Since aeons ago, Greek philosophers, Aristotle and people like that have already been talking about human excellence, character, strengths and stuff like that. And in fact, it only became a big thing in about 1998 when Marty Seligman decided to set it as his theme as the president of American Psychology Association. So in short, what he did was he put up this giant big umbrella, that's my terms, and he says, you know what, guys, all of you studying, you know, happiness and all good stuff in life, can we all stand together so that we're recognized? Because in the US and in other parts of the world, funding tended to go into traditional psychology. Mm. And people who were studying the good stuff in life were kind of getting on by their own, and it was kind of sad. And as you can see, since 2000, there's just positive psychology everywhere.
Okay, so it's really taken off. It's really become sort of a more mainstream approach.
Well, there's still skeptics. They still think it's some self-help mumbo-jumbo. Some people are still skeptical. It's a movement. It's a fad. It will pass. But there's more traction these days. Yeah.
Okay. So, Andy, how much did you know about positive psychology, and what prompted you to introduce it into the work that you're doing in PR?
Yeah, thanks, Asha. I think I've known Su Lin for many years, and we've been working together, I think, for the last 10 years. The reason why we got together is Su Lin has always been HR, human resources, looking into how to build talent for organizations, organization change. And as a public relations or communications practitioner myself, I've always believed that brands are built from the inside out. and reputation is something you earn from your stakeholders. So we've always tried to work together to bring out the best in organizations by looking into both internal communications and external communications. And one area that I share a lot with in terms of with Sulin is she, you know, shared a lot about positive psychology and how we can bring incorporate that into the everyday practice of public relations and communications. Particularly today, I think in the context of today, the world is so cynical. There's a lot of negativity in terms of what's happening out there. You know, people look at, if a brand says something, people say it's a spin. So we think it's very important to change that paradigm, to look into how we can connect with our stakeholders better, to walk the talk. And it's important in terms of positive psychology, how do we incorporate it? Because it's evidence-based, it's science. It's also to create that how genuine the communication is, the authenticity of the communication that we do with our stakeholders. So we think it's important, and it's also, we believe, an area where we can upskill PR practitioners, communication practitioners with clients and agencies, how we can work together to upskill the practice of communications, to see how we can bring this in so that there's a greater purpose that we're trying to create in the communication that we do. The meaning that we create for stakeholders when they see communications coming from organizations, from people. For example, when we want to build a brand, I think key component that many organizations forget is how important it is to engage the internal stakeholders, the staff, to come along with you to build that emotional connection with your customers and other people who experience your brand. And this is where we think positive communications as a science will be able to assist or help how we communicate with this important stakeholder.
How exactly does it differ from communications and PR as we know it now?
I think to say that it's a totally new thing, I think it's very misleading. I think psychology has always been used in marketing, in PR, you know, since the beginning of this practice. You know, Marketing 101 will teach you about consumer behavior, which takes a lot of learnings from the science of psychology itself. So I think it's not something new, but what we're doing here is try to put this in a more structured manner and try to incorporate it into the things that we do. So that it also reminds us how important it is to have this positivity and authenticity in our communication. For example, while PR has seen, or public relations is seen as the science, or I mean the art of communicating a lot of good stories for organizations, but if you look at it from a real terms, a lot of PR people spend 80% of their time firefighting rather than, you know, talking about the good stories or how do they help their colleagues, how do they help their other stakeholders to look at it from how do we become better together. We don't really spend a lot of time talking about that. We actually spend a lot of time firefighting, putting out fires, managing the issues. I'm not saying that we are not going to be unreal and forget about these issues, but I think it's very important that we refocus our energy. 80% of the time should be talking about how we can achieve greater heights together rather than 80% of our time trying to fix what's not right out there. So I think it's important for us to switch that paradigm, to have that paradigm shift. And I think this is where we're trying to start baby steps. And positive communications is one of the areas. I mean, that's why we set up a new unit called the Asia Positive Communication Center, looking into how we can work with our clients, working with our own staff. You know, in the first place, I need to also train our own people, upskill them to incorporate the science of positive psychology into the daily work that they're doing.
And do you know whether this is, the application of positive psychology is practiced in communications and PR elsewhere in the world?
We try to Google. I mean, we need to get as much support as we can. In fact, even Sulin tried to reach out to her alumni colleagues, you know, who are trained in positive psychology. While there are parts, people are doing parts of it, but I don't think anyone has put together in such a structured manner that we are trying to do. And to be very honest, we don't have the formula all in place now. What we're doing is we are trying to pioneer this slowly. And the center was set up for us to start getting support and also to look at how we can improve that. In fact, this week, we are doing a workshop for our own staff and also our clients to introduce basic concepts and see how we can, you know, work together to incorporate this evidence-based, you know, science into the work that we do. You know, so it's going to be slowly, and of course, learning and development is the first phase of the steps that we're taking.
I'm speaking with Andy C. and Sulin Chung. They're both from Perspective Strategies and the Asian Centre for Applied Positive Psychology, respectively. Next, we'll be asking about practical examples of how positive psychology can be used in communication. So stay tuned to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is Marketing Mojo and Resource Centre. I'm Tasha Fusil. Andy C., the Managing Director over at Perspective Strategies, and Sulin Chung, the Chief Engagement Officer at the Asian Centre for Applied Positive Psychology, are with us this afternoon. And we're talking about positive psychology in communications. Celine, have you applied positive psychology in your internal communications and what benefits have you seen?
Yes. In fact, that's what I do as a HR NOD person. So I have used it to help organizations change or carve work cultures where you want to raise the level of employee engagement. You want to get them to feel more positive emotions at work, where you see them actually find meaning in work. A lot of us go to work because we have to go to work, because we want the money at the end of the month, and we drag our feet. Right? Mm-hmm. So the whole purpose of applying positive psychology to workplaces, for employers, really the benefit is we know that when employees are happy, it is a high predictor of success and high performance in their jobs. So like right now, I am engaged as a talent coach at a local big company. And what I do there is really be available to the people there. And they come up with all kinds of issues, and is being able to teach them effective strategies of how to, you know, find more out of life to get better at what they do, or even just to get stronger internally, to become more resilient, to be more optimistic about the stuff that they're facing. Yeah.
Okay, so it's both about discovering that intrinsic motivation and also learning sort of new skills to build, as you said, some resilience and some, I don't know, strength? Is that something that's lacking?
It's getting them to focus on strengths, on what works well, and in looking at people and looking for the good stuff rather than looking for things to pick at, because whatever you look for grows. There's lots of it. It's also building the organization itself. So positive psychology is also used in my work to build leadership, to also strengthen the fabric of an organization. How do they hang together? Yeah.
Okay. I think it's very important. I mean, Tasha, may I add? You know, it's very important that we have happy stakeholders working in happy organizations, happy staff. So in that way, we're trying to inculcate, you know, how important it is that we get that emotional connection together in an organization. What makes an organization happy? Of course, bottom line is important. But that comes naturally if you have happy employees, happy customers.
Who are engaged in what they want to do.
Yeah, so then the outcome would automatically be positive in that sense. So what we're trying to do is to inculcate that whole thinking process, you know, how do we make people happy and work together?
Yeah. Does positive communications, does it work with everyone, though, in your experience?
The answer is yes. Unless you really, really don't want to be positive.
Okay. Yeah, be very resistant to the idea.
Well, it's not an idea. Personality. Some people just they think they're positive and it's okay. It's okay to let them be. So in our world, in the positive psychology world, we do accept that some people are less happy than others. And that's okay. If it's okay with them, it's okay with us. So we are more concerned about working with people who want more and don't know how to get there, who wants more happiness and feel that they can't get there because of, you know, their ways of thinking and things. So cognitive behavioral change and things like that, that matters a lot in our work, which is why positive psychology is used extensively in coaching on a one-to-one as well as in teams and stuff like that.
Okay.
So may I add to that, Tasha?
Sure.
You know, similarly, from a communications point of view, you will never be able to please everybody. I mean, that's a concept that we need to understand. And similarly to the earlier point I raised, we cannot be spending 80% of our time trying to please the odd ones out. To make them happy or come along with us. So there will be occasions where, you know, we just have to resign to the fact that these individuals or these organizations may not come along with us or may not see eye to eye with us. I think the key focus here is we got to spend 80% of our time talking to the majority, the silent majority, i.e. your advocates, your fence sitters, the objective ones, who will most likely be very open to that engagement process.
And the wonderful thing is emotions are contagious. So while you may be resistant for a while, you know, the fact that other people are getting it and things like that, the fence sitters actually do move over. So to answer your original question, does it work on everyone? I believe it does. With all my heart, I do. It's hard work sometimes.
Okay, well, what are some examples of client campaigns that you've done where you've injected positive psychology into the messaging?
Strangely, although we are a public relations firm, we don't just do public relations work. We have to understand public relations involves building brands, earning reputation. Hence, communication cannot be looked at only from an external communications point of view. You got to look at internal communications as well. One focus area that the Perspective Strategies looked at is actually internal communications. For example, recently we worked with a client to look at how to it's a company that has been around for 100 years. So we wanted to look at how we can revisit the vision. How do we strengthen the organization? How do we bring the top team or some of the future individuals that have been identified to lead the company in the future? And to talk about how do they go further together? And they're not satisfied with just what they have achieved, even though they have been a very successful organization for the last century. So we work with our clients using a number of tools, you know, to go through the process of what kind of messages would appeal to the individuals in an organization. We ask them to empathize with what they think the team members would think like. We go through an entire process of a one-day workshop, for example, with a senior leadership team and key staff to work out the messages, to put themselves in the shoes of the individuals in the team. And of course, we went on with various implementation plans where we look at how we roll out these initiatives, the communication initiatives, to get the support of every individual in the organization to be part of that change process or transformation process in the organization. So it's about building the brand internally first before we go out there and earn the reputation from the outside. And we did incorporate a lot of evidence-based positive psychology
tools.
One
of the tools that we used is widely used in the world elsewhere. It's called appreciative inquiry. So this is very strength-based. It asks, instead of focusing on the problems and challenges and then you have to solve them, it actually goes into what are the strengths that you have and then asking, with those strengths that you have, where do you want to go? What is your big dream? So what do you need to get there? And if that is what you need to get there, so let's get our hands dirty. What do we do next? Right? So it takes away that downward spiral that you tend to get, like, oh, we got all these problems, you know, we have all these things that don't work, you know, and your department is like this and like that. So we took them way above that.
Okay.
Right. And one interesting thing we did, Andy, because this was actually a very unique situation, even though it was one big company, it was fragmented, as in they were in three major units and we were to bring them together. And they always thought they were better than the others, each one. So what we did was to bring them together. We actually put up a chart on the wall where we asked them to put up their strengths. And when you put things on the wall, sticky notes and things, they found out that they were more similar than they thought. And then we put up a chart that says, what are your fears and what are your concerns and what do you think will go wrong? And they stuck it up. And they found out they all have the same fears.
Right.
So by using strategies like that, it takes the pain away from doing stuff, whereas if we left them to actually find themselves and connect, it'll take years because of, you know, people tend to work in cliques, people tend to prefer people they already know and work with.
And you've given them like a safe platform to sort of be very honest with and frank with whatever they're feeling internally.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the entire process involves how they discover themselves, how they dream. And these are all very important components, because when you dream together, it becomes a collective dream of how they can achieve the goal together. And then they discover, you know, Sulin mentioned how they discover that they have a lot of similarities rather than differences.
Is there a roadmap to include this sort of approach and application of positive psychology into the external communications, into the PR work that you do?
Definitely. Of course, the first step, like I say, we are trying with our learning and development practice, because within the firm, we do have a training arm. So because we believe first we got to upskill our consultants and our clients to be open to it.
So that's the stage you're at right now.
That's the stage that we're at. And then next would be, of course, using those tools that we learn together to incorporate into the daily work that we do.
And I think the big thing in PR is really about building credibility and being very authentic in what we do. So the focus will then be on focusing on what companies really, really do well and making sure they live up to it, so that we, in many ways, temper that negativism and skepticism that is so prevalent amongst consumers. if not the whole market. Yeah, mm-hmm. And people are already doing that, for instance, in journalism, where it's not that they pretend the bad doesn't exist. It's about being factual. Mm-hmm. It's not about exaggeration. It's not about hiding facts. It's about going into causal root things and dealing with it solidly. What are the ways to move forward rather than attributing blame and stuff like that, which is what's happening.
Yeah. Similarly, on a communication point of view, it's about creating a culture in terms of the communication. It's not about finger pointing. It's not about finding what the faults are. It's about how do we overcome it and where do we go from there. So there's a lot of similarity in that sense.
And I think one of the biggest applications, Andy, would be in crisis management.
As
when crisis happens, how do organizations deal with communications? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Andy C., the Managing Director of Perspective Strategies, and Sulin Chung, the Chief Engagement Officer at the Asian Center for Applied Positive Psychology. This has been Marketing Mojo for Resource Center. I'm Tasha Fasil for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.